Well, amen. Let's look in John chapter 8.
Message entitled, "The Lord is My Light," out of John chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. And we'll read down to verse 12, John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he saith unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And then verse 12 is our text. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the light of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we can see things that others cannot see. We can comprehend and understand things that others cannot comprehend and understand. And that is because that the light of Christ has shined abroad in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that might not be sure they're saved, will you speak to their hearts and move upon them, Lord, that they might come and receive Christ. No, it would be brought out of darkness into the glorious light of the Son of God. And Lord, I pray that each of us as believers may rejoice continually as we've been enjoying tonight, testimonies and songs and praise of the goodness of our God. Continue to bless us, use us, Lord, and be a light that shines through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 12. "And then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We certainly are familiar with this passage of Scripture. We know this is a woman that's taken in adultery, and the Pharisees bring her before Jesus and accuse her of the wrong that she has done. Their intention was not to see that the law of Moses would be fulfilled, but rather their intention was to try and corner Jesus and accuse Jesus of violating the law of Moses. And yet here's Jesus. He bends down and writes on the ground, and the men see what he is writing, and then they start to depart one by one by one until there is no one left to accuse the woman. And his response to the woman, "Since there's no one to accuse you, I don't accuse you either." He does not allow or acknowledge it's okay to live that lifestyle, for he says, "Go and sin no more." And then he uses that as an opportunity to teach and to present to the Pharisees and the others that are around there watching him that he was the light of the world. And he seizes that opportunity to present himself as the light that came in this world. In Luke chapter 2, when Jesus' birth was announced, and then after the shepherds were departed, and then Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple to have him circumcised on the eighth day. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 30, Simeon says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." And here it is, "a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And as we launch into this Christmas season, remember this, that we have the light. The Lord is my light. And we have a light that can shine in a dark place. And I just want to look at some thoughts tonight about Christ as being the light of this world and how we can be light in the world in which we live. First of all, there is a conduct in life. In verse 12, Jesus is mentioning here and acknowledging that he was the light that came into the world. And it is in direct response to the conduct of this woman. And he wants to impress upon them that, wait a minute, when light shines in a dark place, there is a change that takes place. And the difference that was made in this woman's life was not the accusations of the Pharisees. It was the relationship of Jesus Christ to the woman. And when we talk about the Lord is my light, we have to acknowledge it involves a conduct in life. First of all, there must be a comprehension of darkness. A comprehension of darkness, there is a means by which we can have light, and that's in John chapter 1 in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now it goes on here, it says that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. And so the means by which we can be able to be brought out of the darkness is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is only, John was a forerunner. John was not the light. And we are not the light. We are allowing the light of Christ to shine through us. Jesus said he was the light that came into the world, but then he says, ye are light. How are we light? It's because of Christ that is in us, that we comprehend the darkness around us, that the light of Christ is what makes a difference in someone else's life. The problem, however, is that men love darkness rather than light. Men would rather embrace that which is unholy and unrighteous than to believe on Christ and allow him to change their conduct in life. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The problem is not that there is not a sufficient amount of light. The problem is not that God did not send light into this dark world. The problem is that men love darkness rather than light. They would rather be consumed with the wickedness of this world rather than enter into the righteousness of Christ. I don't know how many times I've talked to people and I've told them, you know, you don't have to change anything to be saved, but when you trust Christ as your Savior, it will change you. And you listen, you can't experience a birth into the body of Christ without it affecting you. And I've had, numbers of people that over the years that said, well, I don't want to get saved if it's going to change my life. I'm going to have to give up my friends, or I'm going to have to stop this, or I'm going to have to stop that. And I try to help them to understand it's not about you stopping these things. It's about you trusting the light that has come into this world and allow the illumination of Christ to repel the works of darkness. And they love the darkness rather than they love the light of Jesus Christ. And it's a shame many times as I watch, even among believers, that believers would go out and embrace the conduct and the actions that is in the darkness of this world, and rather than walking in the light of Jesus Christ. And so comprehension of the darkness will help you to develop the right conduct in your life. Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more. I am the light of the world. And so he desired for his illumination to affect her life and those that were around her. And so the comprehension of darkness. There's also the emotion of darkness. And the emotion of darkness. Darkness does carry an emotional state to it. If you don't think so, just look how emotional people get and how crazy they get when you try to confront them about the darkness. I mean, they get pretty upset about it sometimes. Notice that there's a lack of integrity when you deal with this matter of darkness. And 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What is that? There's a lack of integrity. And if we're a Christian, bless God, be a Christian. If we're a child of God, then let's live like we're a child of God. If we've been born again and brought into the light, then let's walk in the light as He is in the light. Let's not be people that are fraudulent in who stating who we are and living out that life that is completely wrong and violates the principles of Christ. And so the emotion of darkness is just simply this. They say one thing, but they do something else. So they lack integrity. They lack sincerity in 1 John chapter 2 in verse 9. John goes on to say, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. Then in verse 20, and I think it's verse 20, no, verse 22, verse 11, I'll get it, amen, says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. So the emotional aspect of darkness is not only does it just lack integrity, it's insincere. Because, you're walking in the light, you love the light, but wait a minute, Jesus Christ came in this world because God loved man in his darkness. And yet you say you're walking in the light of Christ and you can't love your brother. And I believe he's talking about Christians here. He's writing to the church. I believe he's talking to brothers in Christ. And he's saying this, you can't say I'm walking in the light and hate your brother in Christ. Because you're now consumed of the darkness. You're being insincere about who you are. So there's the comprehension of darkness. There's the emotion of darkness. But there's the provocation of darkness. In other words, it creates a conflict in our life. It creates a conflict in our way that we live. In Isaiah chapter 8, in verse 21 and 22, in Isaiah chapter 8, it says here in verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to this word. It is because there is no light in them. And it goes on in verse 21, it tells us what is the product, what is the conflict, what is the provocation of this darkness. It's a despising of God. In verse 21, they shall pass through it, hardly be stead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And so the outcome of saying you're in the light and not walking in the light is to develop a spirit of despising the very God who supposedly brought you into the light. And so there you cannot neglect the person of Christ and not have it affect you emotionally and in your relationships with others. Not only despising of God, but there's despair and gloom that comes about because of the wrong conduct. In verse 22 of Isaiah chapter 8 says, and they shall look unto the earth. There's your problem right there. If you look to the earth, you need to look to God. And behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. And so Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's speaking in reference to this woman who is caught in adultery. He has forgiven her, released her, and encouraged her to go and live a life that was different that she had lived before. And then he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Your conduct will change when your life is illuminated by the person of Jesus Christ. It is not about you getting up or me getting up in the morning and making my list of do's and don'ts for the day. Because the reality is you're not going to hold to the list of do's and don'ts. But if you get up in the morning and say, well, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm in the light of Christ. He illuminates my heart. Lord, be glorified in me and through me that my life and my conduct, how I live my life, will be a benefit and an influence, a positive relationship on others for the glory of God. Here's what D.L. Moody had to say about this. He says, we are told to let our light shine. And if it does, we don't need to tell anybody it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. Now, you know, God's not looking for us to be walking around boasting and saying, yeah, well, I'm saved. I'm the Jesus, the light of the world. He said, I'm the light of the world. Bless God, you need to look to me because I'm the one that is shining. No, just let Christ shine. That's all. And he's telling this woman, it's not going to impress others. It's not going to influence others because you can walk around and say, I've kept the law of Moses. He said, wait a minute, I am the light of the world, and if you're in me, you're no longer in darkness. So let your light shine. And so the Lord is my light and affects my conduct in life. The Lord is my light, and so he gives me a consciousness of real life in John chapter 9 in verse 5. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, a consciousness of the reality that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the light of the world. Notice the encountering of Christ in John chapter 9 in verse 6. Now, Jesus is dealing with a man that was born blind. And it's very important to understand why he states, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And in verse 6, he says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And notice there was an encounter that the blind man had with Christ. The world is groping in darkness. They're blinded by the god of this world, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And listen, the only change that's going to come about in their life is they need a personal encounter with Christ. They need you to show them who Jesus Christ is. They have no idea. The world today just lives in light of the fact that Jesus' name is nothing more than a common curse word. They live in a world that denies the reality of a power of God to be able to work in somebody's life. Our children that are growing up in the world, they have no idea who Christ is. Listen, years ago, 50 years ago, the unsaved people had a reverence for God that was stronger than what saved people's reverence for God is today. Years ago, children went to Sunday school and they learned the basic Bible stories. And the sad thing is now we have people who are claimed to be Christians and being claimed to be in the light of Christ, and they don't come to Sunday school. They don't send their children to Sunday school. There's some things I'm going to be doing in January to encourage people and try to help you understand the importance of being in Sunday school. I'm telling you, Sunday school lays the foundation for your children's life. If it's Sunday school, what you learn in the Sunday school, even the church I grew up in didn't tell me how to be saved, but I'm going to tell you, I learned about all the characters of the Old Testament. I learned about Jesus Christ. I learned about the basic stories that was in the Bible so that when I heard the gospel and I responded to the gospel, it was easy to enter into the light of the world. Amen. Need an encountering with Christ. Notice there was a washing of Christ in verse 7. After Jesus spit on the clay and anointed the eyes of the blind man, in verse 7 he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is being interpreted, it is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. They need an encounter with Christ where their sins are washed away. And it is a matter of exercising faith. It was not the water that brought eyesight to the man. It was the fact that the man had faith to respond to what Jesus gave him to do. And when he went to the pool, he washed his eyes and he came back seeing because of the fact that the light of the world, he had an encounter with him, he believed on him, and when the washing of his eyes were experienced, he received light. Now listen, when we trust Christ as our Savior, we experience the light of this world coming in our hearts. We see things differently, we live differently, we have a different hope, there's a different grace, there's a different power that rests upon us because of the cleansing of Christ. Then there was the testifying of Christ. It didn't stop there. His consciousness, he was conscious of life that he has now, was different. He was blind. he never saw in his lifetime, and now he's seeing a multitude of things that he never saw before, and he's questioned about this healing that he experienced in John chapter 9 and verse 25. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Listen, you don't have to make it complicated. Yeah, it's interesting to me. You have all this stuff on the internet anymore. You know, I appreciate the internet. I do a lot of study and research on the internet. But I'm going to tell you, there is so much garbage on the internet. So much stuff on there that is just confusing, and it's theologically incorrect. It's not built on systematic theology, and people click things on. And I'll tell you, the Christianity has become so complicated. And it's not complicated. That's why I loved it when I first got saved. The big tract they always used was just God's simple plan of salvation. And I love that tract because it's just simple to the point, step by step, how you trust Christ as your Savior. Don't make it complicated. God doesn't make it complicated. Jesus Christ came in the world. He died for sinners. He was buried. He rose again, ascended on high. He is the light that was shining in this world that we might be able to be saved. And we may not have all the theological answers, but bless God, all I know is I was blind, but now I can see. The consciousness of life. I've had people ask me all kinds of crazy questions over the years, and I've just, different times I've told them, I said, look, I don't know, I don't have all the answers to everything you're asking, but I know this, I was a wicked sinner, and God changed my life. The consciousness of life, because Jesus Christ is the light that is in this world. So, Dr. Paul Chappell said this, I thought this kind of went right along with this point. Consider the life you live now. Do other people perceive your faith? And that's always a question that really bothers my heart is, wait a minute, the life that I'm living, can people perceive my faith that I have in Christ? He says, how do other people perceive your faith? While God doesn't expect you to live in perfection, He desires that you would do all you can to shine forth His light so others will see Him clearly. It's not about living our Christian life to be boastful or prideful. It's about living our life as a believer walking in the light so that the people see who Christ is. And Jesus said He was the light that came into this world. And He wanted the people to see Him as that light. So there's a conduct in life when we get into the light. There's a consciousness, if you will, of life. I'm aware of the fact that people are watching me. And may I say, they are watching you. And they know what you do. They know how you respond. They know how you act in situations. They know when you go to church. They know when you stay home. They know what you're doing. They're watching you. And so let your light shine so that people might come to know who Christ is. And so the conduct in life, the conscious of life. But then there's confidence in life. In John chapter 12 in verse 46, Jesus said, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. That's the confidence. I don't have to grope in darkness. I don't have to be overcome with this world. I don't have to be defeated by this world. Why? Because I am in the light of Jesus Christ. We need to have confidence that God is with us. The testimonies that we shared tonight, the Lord just impressed on my heart as I was standing there, take testimonies. And the testimonies that speak about God's goodness and God's deliverance and God's faithfulness and God's consistency and all these things that God is, the light that has shined in our hearts, gives us confidence to live our life each day. Notice there's deliverance and victory through the light of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4 says, but ye brethren are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Now, Jesus Christ is coming again. Because we're in the light of Christ, there's going to be a day when Jesus comes. And when he comes, that day, there'll be a multitude that'll be lost because they have not received Christ as their Savior. But wait a minute, we're not in that situation. We have been delivered. And we have been given victory through our faith in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to walk in this world in the light of Christ because of the fact I have deliverance and victory. We are not losers. We are not we're not defeated. And oftentimes people act like being a Christian is just being a loser. I'm going to tell you something. You're on the winning side when you're with Jesus Christ. And there's no life. There is no life. None. There's not one life that you can live apart from Christ that is significant and important as what Christ's life is that he gives us. He gives us a life of deliverance and victory. In Romans 13, verse 11 through 14, he gives us life and a testimony. Not just deliverance and victory, but he gives us a life. You know, oftentimes people have said over the years, you know, you get upset with somebody, I'll get a life. Well, amen, I got a life, amen, and it's in Christ. That's where it is. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, Paul says, and that knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now listen, when I got saved, my pastor was preaching on Bible prophecy, and I thought for sure Jesus was coming that year, amen. And it's been 37 or 38 years now, and I'm still looking for the Lord to come. But wait a minute, we need to wake up out of our sleep. For why? Our salvation is nearer than it was when we believed. And notice in verse 12, he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, and not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What is he saying? You have a life and a testimony. And your life is a life that is based upon the salvation of God. And the fact that God has set you free and brought you out of darkness. So live a life that is a testimony of God's grace that has set you free. It's a life of testimony and life. It's a deliverance and victory. But it's also power and eternity. In Colossians chapter 1, and we have the power of Christ resting upon us. We have the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that atones for all our sins. In Colossians chapter 1 in verse 10, Paul says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and unto the patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Give thanks unto the Lord, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We have power and we have eternity. There is nothing that in eternity that we're going to miss out on because of the fact that we have come to the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. I love what Robert Murray McShane, old preacher of years gone by, said this in reference to the confidence that we have in life. And what a powerful statement he says here. He said, a beam of God's countenance is enough. That quote just right there is enough. I don't need to read anything else. I read this and I said, my goodness, this just touched my heart. A beam of God's countenance is enough to fill the heart of a believer to overflowing. It is enough to light up the pale cheek of a dying saint with seraphic brightness and make the heart of the lone widow sing for joy. All we need is a beam of God's countenance. All we need is the light of Christ shining in our hearts. All we need is the presence of God with the reality, wait a minute, that Jesus Christ is still the light of this world, and I do not have to walk around and grope in the darkness. In Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he mentions here about us being the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. And he said, a city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice this matter of Christ being the light and his light being in us, putting us in a position of being light. It gives us purpose and illumination. The purpose is that, wait a minute, we are to be set on the hill as a shining light into our city. The illumination is Christ that is in us and what he can do through his ministry of shining in the hearts of men. We don't take a candle and hide it under a bushel. We take a candle and set it on a candelabrum so that it'll give light to the whole house. We have a purpose and illumination. But we have praise and exaltation in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works. And here it is. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise and exaltation. You know, if we've been saved, we've been brought into the light of Christ, he has changed us. Then let's live our life in a way that people can see what Christ is and what he has done in our life, that God might be glorified. The Lord is my light. We have nothing to boast about. I have nothing to shine about. There's nothing in my past or nothing even in my future that I can boast about in myself. But the fact that Jesus Christ is the light that came into this world, that will impact people's lives if we'll just let our light shine, who is Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. You know, when you want to test things, and John said, but brethren, try not, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. Tell you how you try the spirit, put it underneath the illumination of Christ. Put it underneath the light of Christ. And I'll tell you right now, Jesus can show you what is light. He can show you what is darkness. Let the light of Christ shine through you. And because that's the only way that we're going to be able to impact anyone in this world to come to faith in Christ. The Lord is my light. This Christmas, remember that Jesus came into this world as a light unto the Gentiles. He came as the glory of Israel. So let's let the light of Christ shine. I love Christmas Eve service, candlelight service that we have together. It's just always amazing to me as we close, turn off all the lights and everything, and we start lighting the candles, and the candles, one lit here and one here and then one here and one here and one here and one here. The place is dark, and all of a sudden, the whole place is illuminated. Why? Just because of one candle that affects another candle that affects another candle, and the whole place is illuminated. Folks, that's all we have to do is take the beginning, the light of Jesus Christ, and allow his light to shine through us, and let's set someone else on fire with the light of Jesus Christ, and we can impact the world in which we live. The Lord is my light. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. You're a faithful God. We've heard testimonies tonight alluding to that fact, and Lord, we stand in agreement with them. We say a hearty amen. And Lord, we're thankful that Jesus is still the light of this world. Lord, it stirs our hearts and troubles us when we see how dark the world is getting. But Lord, the darker the world gets, the brighter the illumination of Christ is. And so Lord, help us to be lights in this world, shining forth the praises of our God, that others might be able to see how they can be forgiven and cleansed and delivered and set free and have new life through faith in Christ. I'm thankful for this woman caught in adultery, that her life was never the same. She was completely changed. And it was because of the fact you gave her light to direct her life. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you give us light to direct our life. Bless us, Lord, in this invitation, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.